How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Knox Manning in Hollywood, taking you on another brief journey behind the scenes. Once again, we draw the curtain to watch a fragment of forgotten drama, a story of people and places already hidden in the background of destiny. Today, we shall meet a runaway boy whose actions change the future of a great nation. But first, a word from a familiar voice. That's something worth knowing. And now, step with me behind the scenes of the hold of a side-wheeled steamboat bound out from Boston Harbor. The smell of spices, tobacco, freshly tanned leather, wool, and cotton mingles with the salt spray that seeps down from the hatch above. Look over there, behind that packing case. Yes, it's a stowaway, a small boy, tired, a little frightened, and just a bit seasick. Let's move behind these bolts of cloth and wait for someone to discover him. As he climbed down the ship's ladder, Captain Charlie Jones was in a bad humor. His vessel had been held up a week by some sort of official red tape. His cargo was light and not particularly profitable. His crew was short several hands, and now his ship was foundering in heavy seas, barely 40 knots out from Boston. Captain Jones went on drearily about the business of checking the cargo. He pushed aside a heavy crate and stepped back in surprise. "What are you doing here?" he roared. The boy was half asleep, but the bright light from Captain Jones's lantern pierced his eyelids and forced him open. "Please, sir, let me stay with you. I don't care where you go, but let me accompany the ship." For a second, the captain was speechless. In all his years at sea, he'd never seen such a stowaway. A boy, not more than 5 feet tall, sallow complexion, strangely shaped eyes, a high-pitched voice, and a timidly eager smile. "What's your name?" the captain demanded. "Yao Yu." The captain frowned. "A Chinese boy. Probably came from one of the shops along the Boston waterfront." "May I accompany you, sir?" the boy asked again. "Afraid not, son. At least not for long. We'll be heading back to Boston in a week or so. You can help out aboard ship until then. But when we get to Boston, I'll take you to your family." The boy's eyes narrowed in fierce determination. "I will not go home, sir. I'll run away again. My uncle insists I work in his shop. I want to attend school. I want to study and learn and become more than a shopkeeper. Won't you help me do that, sir?" Captain Jones drew his gnarled hand across his forehead. "I can't keep you, son," he said after a moment. "I can understand you're wanting an education, but I'm not able to help you." The boy turned his eyes toward the bulkhead. "I'll tell you what, though," the captain continued. "For the next few weeks, I'll try to teach you what little I know. But when we get to Boston, you'll have to go back to your uncle. Now, before the conclusion to our story, a word from your announcer." In the next few weeks, Captain Charlie Jones did teach Yao Yu many things, and the most important of these was a new religion, for by the time the ship docked at Wilmington, North Carolina, Yao Yu had determined to become a Christian. He never returned to Boston. Captain Jones realized the intelligence of his willing pupil and arranged for him to stay in the South. Yao Yu attended an American college and then sailed for his native China, where he became one of the founders of the new Chinese Republic. But he never forgot the name of his benefactor, the name of the sea captain who befriended him, for Yao Yu had himself baptized Charlie Jones Soon. And it is this name which is now almost a legend in China, this name which he gave to his three daughters, the famous Soon sisters, Madame Sun Yat-sen, Madame H.H. Kung, and Madame Chiang Kai-shek. This is Knox Manning inviting you to join me again tomorrow at this time for another journey into that dim half-light where chance and destiny lift men out from behind the scenes. This is a Hamilton Whitney radio production, transcribed in Hollywood.